Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Shelby Asenzi. She is the Hunting and Shooting R3 Coordinator for the state of Nebraska. Good morning, Shelby. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Did I get your name pronounced correctly?
You were close.
Okay, you go ahead and pronounce it for us, because I never want to mispronounce somebody's name.
My name's Shelby Asenzi.
Asenzi.
Yes. It's more of a Z than an S.
Very good. I apologize for not getting that right.
Oh, you're good. A lot of people don't get it right.
First of all, tell us what an R3 coordinator is and what that means.
Yeah, so when people talk about R3 coordinators, the R3 stands for recruitment, retention, and reactivation. So an R3 coordinator usually focuses on R3 efforts specifically for outdoor recreation activities such as hunting, shooting sports, fishing, and boating. So that's kind of what that stands for. And then R3 efforts are for education and outreach. So that's hosting programs to get people outdoors and trying to get them the confidence they need to do those activities on their own.
So why is R3 important?
R3 is really important, especially since we're seeing a lapse in hunters where, those boomers were doing really great in hunting number-wise, especially fishing too, and then there's kind of a dip as they come out of it, or, newer youth aren't getting the experience that they need to learn that type of stuff. So having these R3 positions and the R3 programs and events that are out there are really important to get new individuals that don't have the same opportunities of a mom and dad or an uncle or any family member teaching them how to do it. So I know just recently the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission hosted an outdoor discovery program where a bunch of fourth and fifth graders came and got to do a bunch of these activities to get hands-on learning and get that first experience of what it means to do some of the stuff such as fishing, hunting, and shooting.
Did they have a good time with it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. A lot of those students were so excited. And that's the best part, is that they do get that hands-on. So we're teaching them. I was on the NASP range, which is the National Archery in the Schools program. Mm-hmm. That's really big in Nebraska. A lot of schools will host it. And we actually just had the state tournament here in Lincoln about a month ago where there was over 700 students. So it's getting bigger and bigger. And all those students were so excited that they got to shoot a bow while they were there. It's not just them sitting there and listening to the instruction part of it. They also get to do the activity, which is really important.
We've had a couple NAS regional tournaments out here in North Platte.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic to go in there. And, of course, the kids at this level, they're not beginners. They're accomplished mm-hmm. archers, and they're in there. But just to be in there with them, listening to them, watching how they present themselves, that's a great program.
Yes.
So next time we have one, you going to be out here?
Potentially. Megan Price is the NAS coordinator for the state. So she is the one that's trying to get a little bit more tournaments happening. So she's trying to get schools to host more invitationals across the state. I know that's kind of her goal in the next year. Instead of just doing regionals, there's also invitationals so they can get more opportunities to get in that kind of tournament environment, because nerves for some students can kind of be brought up in that setting and make them not perform as good as they want to.
Well, that's part of the competition, is you got to, the personal psychological stuff you have to go through to get ready to
yes.
do that. So,
yes.
All right. Tell us, I know you're in a very interesting position because you're like a shared position with both Game and Parks and the National Wild Turkey Federation. Explain how that goes and how that works to have you with us.
Yeah. So my position is the Nebraska Hunting and Shooting R3 Coordinator with the National Wild Turkey Federation, but that is a partnership position with Nebraska Game and Parks. The reason that this position kind of got brought up is because both the groups have aligning interests and mission, and having a position that is able to focus on increasing efforts and support for both groups is valuable throughout the state, just providing more efforts in that R3 realm to get people into the outdoors. It also shows how similar groups are able to collaborate and offer various opportunities and support to each other when it is needed.
Very good. How long have you been with the Game and Parks in this position?
Yeah, so I actually started the position in February, but I didn't get moved down to Lincoln, Nebraska, until March 1st. So I've been in Nebraska since March 1st.
And where were you prior to that?
I was in southeastern Minnesota back home. I had just finished my master's and was back home for a bit and then got this job, so I had to relocate.
Oh, very good. Now, I'm assuming your master's is in some realm of biology, being the position you're in.
Yeah, so my master's was in biological sciences and natural resource management. I got that at South Dakota State University. My project, though, focused on increasing women's hunting and fishing retention.
Well, you're a jackrabbit then.
I am a jackrabbit.
My number two son went to SDSU.
Ears up.
I'm well aware, I'm familiar with the campus and good school. Good school.
Yeah, I love my time there.
Of course, my favorite spot was over in the dairy sciences area where they did the ice cream.
That is the best spot, let me tell you.
So I know you focus a lot with kids and women in their participation in the outdoors. How do you determine what they want, and how do you get those topics delivered to them? How do you present that?
Yeah, so for the women's side of things, that's kind of where my research comes into play that I did in my master's the last 2 years. So what I did is I actually was a participant in programs throughout the Mountain Prairie region. So that included North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and Montana. So
good
I traveled
Lord.
To each of those.
Yeah, it was you a, got a lot of windshield time.
It was a big, I had a lot of flying time.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a big area to cover. And I attended programs in those states. And I talked to women in each of those states at those programs to figure out what they like and don't like, what in that program is going to help them to gain the confidence and self-efficacy in themselves to be able to do the activity outside of the program instead of relying on it year after year to keep doing it. So in that, some of the biggest, there's three big categories that I found. There's event planning and logistics that are super important for women. So like the communication, the cost, the time, the location, site, various things like that. But the two bigger ones was adult education for women and community. Community is a really big part, I believe, in R3. And that doesn't just apply to women. That kind of applies throughout the whole board of whoever wants to get involved. Because if you don't have someone that you can go to or feel comfortable to go to within the outdoors, it kind of feels like you're on your own and you just don't want to continue to do that. So finding people that have the same interests as you are really important for you to be able to continue that activity.
Listening to what you do and kind of the plans, I see a lot of potential crossover or coordination with, like, the BOW program.
Yeah.
Julie Geiser?
I haven't met her yet. I have talked to her a little bit, and then Julia here in the Turpin Outdoor Center.
Julia Plugi, yes, I know her very
yes.
well.
Yeah, so I'll actually be helping out at the Becoming Outdoors Women event, the main weekend happening in October this year. Registration is open right now, and we are looking for new participants to register or someone that has gone that is going to bring a new participant. I know registration is about half full right now, but that's a great weekend for women to meet other women that are in your state, in Nebraska, that they can, you know, be able to go hang out with for a weekend to go hunting or go on a fishing trip together.
I worked as an instructor with the BOW program for now over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know who has more fun. Me being able to do it, and what my fun is watching when the light bulb comes on and the person goes, I can do this.
Yeah.
Or the ladies that are participating and they're getting hands on and learning about it and just having a ball. When you get to meet Julie, do me a favor. My nickname for Julie is Mog, M-O-G.
Mm-hmm.
Which stands for Madam Outdoor Goddess. So if you when you meet her, you say, you know, glad to meet you, Mog, she will know exactly who you have been talking to.
Oh, I'll have to do that.
like I said, if you haven't met her yet, you're in for a treat. She is a great lady. She lives out here in North Platte, so we do a lot of things together. One of the things I also see that you mentioned about being, you know, community type stuff to do to get people interested. I work with her a lot when we do the community fishing nights out here, and I see that as another great crossover for some of the things you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's various programs. I know even in Lincoln, and this can happen across the state too, but we have a triad archery night or a women's archery night that happens once a month, and those are great times to come in. And even if you have the basics down, it's always good to work on your skill and kind of perfect it a little bit more. But it's the best way to meet more people is those just one-off nights where you can go and try out an activity.
Now, with your title, obviously, yeah, your job and position deals with both hunting and shooting sports in Nebraska. We've mentioned archery. What about rifle, pistol, shotgun for the shooting part of it?
Yeah, shotgun is my specialty. I absolutely love shotgun shooting. I used to be a shooting coach when I was in college. I helped out with a local high school there where I helped coach trap, and then I spearheaded a skeet team for them.
Oh, very good.
So that was fun for them to try something new. But this weekend, I'm actually coming out to Kearney for the Ladies' Day on the range, and I will be doing the pistols. So any participant that comes that wants to shoot handguns, I will be there to teach them how to do that. And like you said, I cover all things. So that comes to rifle, archery, shotguns, handguns, literally anything to do with shooting sports. But I'll help with those programs for the state.
I'll be at a big gun show there in Kearney this weekend. So a buddy of mine and I have a table, and we're selling our wares. So stop in and say hi if you have a chance.
Yeah, we'll see. I know I'm pretty jam-packed on Saturday. It sounds like a fun event.
Being a shotgunner, and if you know shotgunners, the first thing they're going to do is look at what type of shotgun you have to kind of tell you where you are in the grand scheme of things. So what do you shoot?
Well, for sporting clays or like any type of clay shooting, target shooting, I shoot at SKB 90 TSS over and under.
Now, see, I just hearing that, I'm in. You're there.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite guns.
That is, and shotgunning, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, the best high dollar everything. If it fits you and you shoot it well, it's good.
Exactly. That is the biggest thing. Like you said, fit. Make sure your gun fits you.
Exactly. I've had a couple shotguns that I bought. I thought I wanted to, you know, liked them. They never fit right. So I didn't own them very long. And then I had one many years ago. I had a chance to buy it at a very reasonable price. Hunted with it for about 10 years. It was a Beretta BL2 over and under, and it fit me. It didn't matter what got up in front of me, I could hit it.
Yeah.
And then I had a weak moment and traded it off, and I've kicked myself in the butt ever since.
Got to get it back.
Oh, if I could find another one, I'd do it. I noted in one of the items that you sent me that you've been dealing with turkey decoy strategies. And that really interests me because I'm a biologist by degree like yourself. My primary emphasis was in mammalian physiology, but love turkey hunting, love studying turkeys. Tell us about your decoy strategies and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the time of season we're in for turkeys. So right now, I'd still say we're kind of in that early season. I know I just went back home and turkey hunted in Minnesota, and our turkeys did not disperse yet. They're still pretty flocked up. I ended up getting a tom, but that was quite the time. That's another story. but you kind of, like, in early season, people tell you, use hen decoys. Like, maybe try a strutting tom with an upright or feeder hen decoy. and see if you can attract that dominant tom. And this weekend I had hens out, and they kind of just hung out at that just outside of range portion. So then that's the thing where if something's not working decoy-wise, just look at the turkey's body language and their behavior and change it and see what they'll react to. So I was using 3 hen decoys that were feeding upright, just kind of like chilling in the field. Well, that didn't really work to bring them in the last little bit I needed. So then I switched to actually putting a 3/4 strut Jake over a breeder hen, and then had an upright hen off to the side. And that seemed to work to get them to kind of come in and feed and feel comfortable. So, and then early to mid season, try to use just a lone hen, just one by herself. That usually will get toms and Jakes to come in. And then mid season, usually your toms and Jakes are going to start to get henned up, meaning they have a hen that they're breeding or going to be hanging out with. So usually using that Jake decoy over a breeding hen is really smart, especially if some toms haven't bred yet. They're going to get really mad that Jake is breeding before him. So that'll definitely bring in the competition and bring that bird in if they're kind of not wanting to leave that hen. And then late season, I just go right back to using a lone hen or even still using that Jake over the hen for the late season breeding.
I've used the Jake, partial strut Jake over a receptive hen decoy right on the ground. And I've had the local boss gobbler finally run in, charge in, and rip my Jake decoy right off its stake in the fight. And I have to recover from laughing before I shoot him. So We need to take a quick break, but I hope you have a chance to stay with us. I got a couple more questions for you, Shelby.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Shelby Azinzi this morning, the R3 coordinator with the Game and Parks. When we left, we were talking about your decoy stuff, Shelby, but the next question I have is, does part of your position, do you teach or demonstrate how to call turkeys?
Yeah, that's a great question. Each spring, Nebraska Game and Parks hosts turkey calling clinics at various locations around the state. Usually that happens between the end of February into the end of March. So we cover various turkey calls, letting participants get one-on-one, hands-on learning from our instructors on how to do various turkey calls on different calls. So we usually cover mouth calls, box calls, and slate/pot calls.
Right.
In addition, I help with other events and programs where participants get to learn how to turkey call as well. So I helped with a women's cohort night where I taught turkey calling. So yeah, any event or program that wants to be run with turkey calling, I usually help out with.
Do you have a particular go-to call that's one of your favorites?
Yes, I do, which is kind of funny because we just did a Nebraska Hunt. Nebraska did a Facebook question and answer live. And in there, I actually drove home to get my favorite turkey call before we started that because I love it so much.
What type of call is it?
I have the Mountain Hollow game call, Double Talk Legend.
Okay.
So it's actually a slate or pot call, depending on what you want to call it. But it has got 2 different calls on it in one slate. So on the top is kind of that glass type, ceramic type. And then on the bottom is that kind of like chalk type on the bottom.
Okay. Every turkey hunter seems to have their favorite call.
Yes.
Mine is a mouth call. I like to work with them because it, particularly for bow hunting, frees me up. But one of my techniques is I believe turkeys hear the sound as a voice, just like you and I hear one another's voice. We can tell different people by their voice. And I will use, I may have a box call or a slate call with me using it. And if that gobbler ever hangs up, that's when I immediately switch to start calling with my mouth call or maybe go from a slate to a box call so he has different voices to listen to. And that a lot of times that'll get him to come that few extra feet and out of cover and be able to get a shot at him. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, I'll use my slate call If they're responding to it, great. If they kind of hang up, I actually carry three different mouth calls with me that all make a different sound, and I will rotate through them until they figure out, until I figure out which one they want to respond to.
We have the very same logic with that. I probably have, between all the calls, I'll have between four and five with me when I'm in the field, just for that reason. So anything else you want to quickly point out? We got about a minute.
I just want to say thank you for having me. It was so fun. And make sure to get out there. I know there's quite a few turkeys out there. And just remember, if you're making mistakes or the turkeys aren't coming in, do not stop trying and take somebody new out.
Excellent. Well said. Shelby, thank you very much for your time this morning. You have a great weekend, and I'm sure we're going to catch up with one another down the road somewhere.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.